Welcome
to Sermons from First Presbyterian Church of Palo Alto. Each week we share a recording of the Sunday sermon, offering theologically progressive, social justice-oriented reflections grounded in Scripture and what's happening in our lives and in the world. Most weeks, the sermon is preached by our pastor, the Reverend Tom Harris, and from time to time, we're joined by guest preachers. The following sermon is from the 10 a.m. service on Sunday, February 15th. Pastor Tom reflects on the story of the healing of the royal official son from John 4. He reflects on the differences between cure and healing. We also hear from church member Deborah Halise Mota, who leads a guided meditation as an introduction to the healing rituals that were offered following the message.
Today, we could say a theme is about going a little deeper and experience things more in our body. And the music today has already kind of prepared us for that, both because as Presbyterians, moving our feet and our hands together is always a challenge. And then that amazing special music was like, I think, very stirring in deeper parts of us, perhaps, than usual. So, in our story today, Jesus and the royal official seem to be talking about two different things. The royal official wants one very concrete, very specific thing. He asked Jesus to cure his critically ill son. Jesus, on the other hand, seems to want something a little more nebulous. He wants people in general to have faith or to believe. It's kind of a heartbreaking exchange, really, because the man says to Jesus, "My son is so sick, he is about to die. Can you come cure him?" And Jesus responds not to the man. The Greek here is the first person plural, you all. Jesus responds in general, "Unless you all see miraculous signs and wonders, you all will never believe." Can you imagine what that felt like for the royal official? Like, who is this guy talking to or about? And so the royal official reiterates his question, "Sir, come before my son dies." The exchange is simply narrated, but we hear the urgency and the frustration in the man's voice. Jesus does then cure the boy, but in a way that piques our curiosity about his power, and the healing process and faith in general, and how they're all connected to one another. So today we're going to make a little space to explore those questions about healing and faith, not so much with our intellect, but on a deeper experiential level. I think right now, at this time in our country and in the world, we're all feeling a lot of things. We're probably feeling scared or angry or appalled about what's happening. We might be feeling heartbroken. And I wouldn't be surprised if people are experiencing negative health consequences as a result of all of the inner stress that's happening today. And of course, the people directly affected, those in detention centers, those being kidnapped by ICE, those being tear gassed or shot at, or emotionally or physically abused, or bombed, or starved, of course, they're suffering at a different level of intensity. But I wouldn't be surprised if those of us who care about what's going on and who are paying attention and who are heartbroken or enraged by it, if the stress is causing consequences for us as well. And that's even before we think about the fact that some of us or some of our loved ones are suffering from things that are completely unrelated to the news. We still have health concerns in our families. We still have family concerns. We still have employment concerns. So today we're going to offer two healing rituals. But before we do that, I want to offer some brief reflections on healing in general. These are not complete reflections because I want to brief and get to the rituals. But let me just say that healing is something much larger than curing a disease. I think the royal official in our story wanted a cure. Jesus wanted to give healing. For example, a person can experience healing on their deathbed. Last moments before they breathe their last breath, they can experience healing. That can be healing in the form of letting go of a lifetime of resentment. It could be receiving love from somebody for the first time or giving love to somebody for the first time. It could look like the releasing of fear around death. It could be the offering of forgiveness. But in those moments before death, we can be healed in our dying. I would say healing in the largest sense is about deepening and expanding our connections to people and to the world. Or another way to say it is that healing is about transcending the self. For instance, we experience healing simply when we deepen our relationships with our loved ones, when we open up to them in new ways, when we share our truths, when we make amends or seek reconciliation. Whenever we in any way remove blocks to the flow of love between us and others, whenever we expand the channels of love between us, that's healing. We also experience healing when we expand our relationships in a community. We heal not in isolation, but we heal in community. Many of us in this society, though, are relationship poor. We have a few intimate relationships. We maybe have a few good friends, maybe some coworkers that we're close to. But we, as a species, evolved and were created for much more than that. We evolved to have complex extended families. We were created to live in villages or tribes where we are known and seen and cared for every single day. Most people in our individualistic and materialistic society, I think, are starving for community. And we can only truly heal in the context of those complex and diverse and broad and multidimensional and safe and protective relationships. You could say that a cure is about taking away the cause of pain, but healing is about giving suffering a context. We also experience healing when we deepen our connections to the earth itself. Again, in this society, so many of us are disconnected from the earth, but we're meant to be rooted deeply and grounded deeply in nature. We were created to be intimate and daily connected to the earth. So real healing requires that connection. D.H. Lawrence summarizes all of this when he writes, and he sort of expands it even further. He writes, "It is a question of practical relations. We must get back into relation, vivid and nourishing relation to the cosmos and to the universe. Vitally, the human race is dying. It is like a great uprooted tree with its roots in the air. We must plant ourselves again in the universe." And then finally, healing requires connections to a narrative about our lives. We are a people who are storytellers. We are meaning makers. It is one thing to suffer, but it is another thing to suffer without a sense of purpose behind it, without a sense of meaning, to have meaningless suffering. And our faith offers one such story, and I'm not talking about the Bible stories, although those are great in themselves, but I'm talking about the meta-narratives of our faith, that we are children of God, that we are created as part of a larger creation, that we all participate every day in the cycles of life and death and resurrection, that we all hunger for a garden from which we feel exiled, that we are all on journeys of liberation toward wholeness, that we are all called to grow toward a greater kingdom. And I think that's what Jesus was getting at when he responds to the royal official, as if Jesus is telling this guy, "I know your son is about to die, and people are going to die, and terrible things are going to happen to you and to the people you love, and we can't fix it all. So do you have faith? Do you have a larger context for the suffering that's to come? Do you have loving relationships? Do you have a community? Are you rooted in the earth and its cycles of life and death and resurrection?" Jesus is saying, "I can cure your son, but your son will also eventually die and you will die, and you can't avoid that in life. So do you have connections to those things that are larger than you?" And one final thought about healing is that it's a process, it's a journey, it's about growth. It's not an event. It doesn't just happen with the snap of our fingers. But we are growing every day, hopefully intentionally, in love, growing in our community connections, growing in our connection to the earth, growing in our confidence, in our sense of purpose and meaning in life. So with that, we're going to offer these two rituals, which are offered as kind of signposts on the healing journey. The purpose is to help us have a tangible, visible way to deepen our connections to this deeper context. One ritual is going to be an anointing with oil. Anointing with oil is an ancient ritual that symbolizes our connection to the earth, to the oil on our foreheads, but also our connections to each other, to the universe, to God. And when even a small amount of oil is placed on your forehead, you can feel it there. It's heavy. You can wipe it off and you still have that sense that it's there. It's a tangible sign of that connection that we have to something larger. Ellen and I will be standing over there for the healing, for the anointing with oil. And here's what will happen. If you come up and would like to participate, we will ask you if you would like to be anointed or if you'd prefer to be blessed. If you're not ready to have oil on your head, but you'd like a little blessing, oil is a sign of the cross with oil. A blessing is just a hand on the shoulder. So you can tell us which one you'd like. We will also ask, would you like this anointing or this blessing for yourself and on behalf of someone else? And I really encourage you to think about this as you come up, because receiving a blessing or an anointing on behalf of somebody, not, you should do it for yourself, but on behalf of somebody also is powerful. It's a powerful thing to do, and it can increases that connection to that person or to those people. Maybe you want to do it for a whole people. And then the blessing will be something along these lines. There's no magic words. Through this anointing, or through this blessing, may you grow in your connection to love. So that's the anointing portion. And now Deborah Lisa is going to come forward and explain about the stones and the other ritual that you'll be invited to participate in.
Everyone, when Tom asked me to support him in this healing journey, at first I was like, of course, and then I was like, oh, what did I do? So a little bit about me, I'm kind of a librarian for indigenous medicines, kind of like a gardener who saves seeds. Right, so they're not from me, I just hold them to help them regenerate. And one of the things that Tom was saying about relationships, it's so beautiful about relationships here, but also relationships with your ancestors and with future generations. And a lot in Indigenous healing is healing forward and backwards. It's all a continuum. And so these stones that you're holding, one will represent the past, your ancestors, one is the present, and one is the future. The other thing it represents is your relationship with the elements. I know you guys have heard Tom talk about pouring the water with the elements. So these stones represent, or their glass, is fire and earth. And then we're gonna have water and air. And this is a Tibetan crystal bowl. It is in the tone of A. And I don't know if you guys know about the chakras, if you've ever heard of the chakras, but A is this, which is where you're gonna anoint, which is super beautiful. And it's also the 852 hertz, if you wanna get all geeky, which is what they call the miracle tone. And a lot of church bells actually had that tone, so for atonement. And so we are going to ring this after each blessing of the ancestors, the future, and then the present. And I'll ring it each time. And Tom is gonna pour just some water in here, about this much. And the beautiful thing about doing this in community is that these stones that you hold, you will come, perfect. You will come before you come get anointed to put them in here, and then Tom will bless them up until Easter. And then at Easter, we will give them back to the earth. So, awesome. So I would love for you guys to, if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes and take one of the stones and put it in your left hand, the other two stones in your right. And the stone in your left hand, I want you to bring in your ancestors. Your ancestors came maybe from far away, maybe they're connected deeply to this land. And just knowing their story, because when we are disconnected from our ancestors, we don't feel their presence behind us. When we walk into a room, knowing that they are there with us. So take this moment to bless them, to pray to them, and for their healing as well as your own. Keeping the ones in your right hand, I want you to look into the future. What is your hope for the future? The generations, the seven generations, because without the children, we don't have a future. What is your dreams for the future? Blessing them and knowing that we are simply borrowing this earth for the future generations. So this is your time of hope, and why you are doing what you're doing. And so take a moment to bring in that hope and love. And then finally, bringing your hands together, holding all three stones. We have heard the saying many times that hurt people hurt others. But lucky for us, healed people heal others. Freed people free others. Enlightened people illuminate others. And so this is your commitment to yourself to illuminate the path for others with love.
Thanks for listening to sermons from First Presbyterian Church, Palo Alto, located at 1140 Cowper Street in Palo Alto, California. If you'd like to worship with us, we gather Sundays at 10 a.m., both in person and online. And you can find more information about our congregation, worship, and ministries at fpcpaloalto.org. We hope to see you soon.